Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. Today we have with us another incredible guest, Tanea Hairston. 14 years ago, Tanea identified a significant gender gap within the investing network that she managed, recognizing the need for a more inclusive and diverse investment community. Tanea founded RISE. This movement empowers women with the financial knowledge and confidence to invest in their financial futures and initiatives that create positive social impact. So, of course, we're going to have an incredible conversation because this is what we're here for. This is why we have this podcast, is to provide hope and encouragement and to know that as we continue evolving in our journey, we're leaving this world better than how we found it. So what better way to do that is then to create an impact. So Tanea, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you, Rachel. It's so good to be here with you today. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
I am too, because before we hit record, we were just briefly chatting and what are the topics? What are the things we really want to bring to today's conversation? She brought up a few things I'm super curious about, which means you guys are probably curious about too. So I have a few questions that I'm going to ask Tanea. If you have questions that come up on this episode, don't hesitate to reach out to her as well. But today we'll be focusing on impact, investing, and community, and the importance of all three as we navigate this world of entrepreneurship to personal growth and development, and ways that we can become better versions of ourselves. So before we dive into today's conversation, I would love for Tanea to share a little bit more of her background and how she got started into the works that she is in today.
Yeah, I'd love to. But before I get started, for anybody that is listening, I just want to commend you for listening to a podcast like this, because really, in order to be an entrepreneur, it takes a skill set of really being courageous, right? Being a genius, being fearless. So first of all, I want to congratulate you, right? Just starting to get this knowledge. And I don't know where you were when you started your journey, but I can tell you 9 years ago, I think this is really important. I started with a different kind of crossroads, right? I was just really authentically, and I really do want to share this, with this particular woman podcast, because, you'll read my bio and you'll see computer scientist, MBA with a focus on finance, right? So to your point, Rachel, right, there always are things that have happened that have gotten you to where you are today. 9 years ago, I was at a very different kind of crossroads. I was newly divorced with 3 kids looking up at me. My entire future felt uncertain. I was overwhelmed with the anxiety that lay before me because I was now in control of my financial future. I had to make decisions, and the weight of those decisions and the things that I needed to make, right? It was terrifying, but I couldn't let fear stop me. I felt like I didn't have enough information or knowledge to make the decisions that were coming for me. I want to share that because I did the work, right? I took advantage of all the knowledge. I got asked to run a private network of investing alongside accredited investors. I helped to build this private investing group where we looked at businesses that were highly scalable, highly innovative. I was privy to a way of thinking and a way of looking at these opportunities. Also along the process, I built, created, and scaled and exited. So I did all of those things so I could learn how to evaluate risk. I did all those things so I could understand all the different asset classes and ways to invest. And I learned that there were so many different ways, so many different opportunities, and I learned how to evaluate the performance. I wanted to share the personal part because that really pushed all of these other things. The more that I pushed and the more that I learned, the more I said, okay, I'm going to start real estate investing. I was asked to write an article for the Journal of Private Equity called Changing the Game of Venture Capital. I was a published author there. The premise of that was studying successful investors using their fundamental input to create a work of best practices and investing principles. I did all of these things so that I could understand, because I felt that there was a system that did not have this knowledge and this intellectual capacity that I wanted of the appropriate types of investments and what stage one should invest in and be comfortable to do that, right? And you get comfortable through education and having community. because I was the managing director of a private investing network, I had experience investors community and education. That really was the start of understanding investing. For me, the best investors had operational experience, in my opinion, right? Which looks different, right? From investors that have had this amazing, you know, corporate career, right? And then they decide they want to invest in early stage innovative ventures. Looks different than somebody who had actually built and scaled an enterprise by themselves, right? And that had, you know, operationally had it sketch like it was running like a beautiful computer program. It looks different. So I felt like those were really good investors. So that's my story. And it really came from looking at my kiddos' eyes at the time and thinking about what is best for them and me to lead our household in the way that would protect and grow our future.
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think as many of our listeners, we have families, we have futures, we have something to look forward to. We have to ask ourselves those questions. Sometimes those are the questions we ask and we come up empty handed and we say, we don't know. We don't know because we don't know what we don't know, especially with investments, right? Because investing and being an investor, sometimes that could feel pretty big and like, wow, what's it take to be an investor? I don't know much about investing, or maybe it's just a scary area to venture because that was something you don't really have the confidence in, especially when it comes to finance and financial literacy. And what does all that look like? If you can just kind of break it down real quick, kind of like a one-on-one, let's get everybody on the same page as to what investing and investors are and how we're going to set this conversation up.
So simply, when you decide to be an investor, that means that it's a mindset shift, right? That means, what am I investing my time, capital, and energy in, and I'm expecting a return, right? So typically, when you talk about investing, you're thinking more of the financial lens. But whether or not you have the capital or savings, you can have the mindset of an investor with your time. Like, is this going to have the return that I expect it should have? So you can already start to have that investor mindset. When you decide to start a business, you're investing your time, you're investing your money, right? Capital. Or if you have outside investors, someone else's capital in a business that you want to grow and scale as some asset. That really is why you're doing what you're doing. I'm dedicated to helping women take control of their financial futures and use their savings to drive meaningful change, because women invest 90% of their paychecks back into their families and communities, right? So with that being said, if they understand where to make the impact, and we're also 75% of the philanthropers, which means we're blindly giving money. But I don't like that. I don't like that, because women are also 80% more likely to suffer from financial hardship because they're blindly giving. They're blindly trusting a partner. They're blindly trusting an advisor. They're just blindly giving money, right? So I don't promote that. What I promote is values aligned and impact investing. So you're investing based off of understanding and knowledge. So let's take a business, for example. You know, Google, right? How do wealthy people invest? At the end of your day, maybe you put Netflix on, take your phones, Google, how do wealthy people invest? Look at that pie chart. Look at a couple of them. How did the ultra wealthy invest? You will see that they're super diversified. You will see some public markets, public equities, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, right? Those are investing in companies, right? That are already, they went through that process to become public, right? So you're investing in public shares and you're getting a piece of that company. Even if you just invest in a stock or bond, you still are an investor because you're investing in that company. And you can do that by yourself through any platform, Charles Schwab, Vanguard. You can do that by yourself, or you can do it through an advisor. Those companies are also already really large because they went through that process. Then when you Google that, then you'll see that there's other things there that the wealthy are investing in. And we call those alternative assets, right? Which everyone talks about around these things, but you feel like I can't approach them. And that's what you've heard of the term angel investing. You've heard of the term venture capital, right? You've heard of real estate investing, maybe debt investing. You've heard of all of these things, but you're like, oh, I can't quite do it. Oh, they're not accessible to me. But really all they mean is angel investing means that you're going to invest your money into a company that you believe to be innovative and that has highly scalable growth potential where you expect to get a return, right? So if I'm investing this amount, then my money's going to 15x or 20x, right? Anything on this podcast is for educational purposes only, by the way. So any references I give to figures, right, they're educational purposes only. I'm not giving you investment advice. You can invest how you like. So that's angel investing. That's where you invest individually in a company that you expect to be highly scalable. You can do that. There's angel groups. We share them with Rise. Alternative to that, you think, oh, I don't really have the time. I'm not sure which companies to pick. You can invest with a venture capital fund. The beautiful part now is that there's much more. When I wrote that Journal of Private Equity, Changing the Game of Venture Capital years ago, unfortunately, I did not interview one man in that whole, it took me like 8 months to write that piece. There was not one man I shadowed and followed, one woman successful venture capitalist that I shadowed and followed and, you know, watch how did they analyze opportunities and, you know, everything that I put in that journal. But now we have all these great women venture capital funds, right? Which really, from an impact point of view, they like to invest in women opportunities or think healthcare for women. Just one thing to keep in mind, here's why we all should have that investor mindset, especially as women. Who's going to invest in bras and period products, right? As investors, we invest in things we know, like, and trust. As business owners, we do business with people we know, like, and trust. Who's going to invest in hormone products that directly contribute to stabilizing hormones, right? I mean, there's a flow app that men finally invested in. My girls actually use it. But it wasn't until they saw the financials behind the app. Right. But those early stage companies for women, this is why we need women to support women. So that's just early stage. But when you Google how the wealthy invest, and you should model that, don't discount like, oh, I'm not wealthy. No, you should. Here, more and more people are really kind of breaking open and saying everyone can real estate invest. Everyone can buy small. But you're hearing that now more and more. And I'm reiterating that messaging. You can start at whatever level you can from an impact point of view. By your purchases, by the banks that you put your money in, because they're investing your money. They're giving you an X percent return, but they're turning around and investing it at a higher return.
Wow. I'm taking copious notes here. But so you're breaking this down in a way that makes it digestible and understandable. It's because sometimes it can feel so much, oh my gosh, like I don't know where to begin. I didn't grow up with a whole lot of understanding of this. Financial literacy was not taught. It's something that as you grow, especially into entrepreneurship, you're kind of forced to sink or swim. You're thrown into this vast unknown. You're like, what is this investing? What is capital funding and angel investing and all these different terminologies? And I love that you just broke this down in a way that makes sense. And one, we need to educate ourselves because that's empowering. Two, for us to support other women, we need to be knowledgeable about it. But also, to your point, yes, for men to be investing in panties and bras and period stuff doesn't really make sense. So is the money that they're investing really making the impact that women truly set out to make? I love that you're talking about this stuff.
If we're frustrated because of the lack of representation of the things that we want, and we can certainly do something about it. That's why we're building the entities that we're building and the businesses that we're building, right? So it's because we hope to have a meaningful impact on our families and our communities. That's why we're doing what we're doing. I think it is important to teach women how to build wealth and how to grow wealth because, as I said before, they're the ones who actually do care about making the world a better place. That's what impact investing is, or values aligned investing. And that's what we do at Rise. Everyone should Google this. How do wealthy people invest? Take a look at how diverse that is. So you know what you're working towards. We always want to know where we're going and what we're working towards, right? And then you can start that in little ways. There's so many platforms, and even we on Rise now have little amounts that you can start investing in, smaller amounts, right? We even have like this debt fund from a Rise community member, which takes first response. It consolidates the debt. And I'm only saying this because you just said capital lending is confusing, right? But really, what does that mean? It means we're loaning money. And I'm going to say a lending debt fund. But what does that mean? It means a fund that we're going to put money into as investors, right? And then we're going to get a passive income return component off of that. What is this particular one doing? It consolidates the debt of first responders because typically they're not financially educated in that way. So it takes their debt and looks to structure it for them. As investors, we get a return on that, and then they get financial education and lowering their debt obligation. So that's just one example of a debt opportunity, investment opportunity that we would share. This one's forecasted to have like 17%. That's kind of what we do. Actually, wait, that opportunity is open to everyone. So sometimes some private opportunities are just, they'll ask you, you know, certain questions, but that one particularly is open to everyone. So yeah, we find things like that. Then again, going back to that grid of, and you can Google this. And then what we do is we look at, and you can Google this too, what the UN Sustainable Development Goals are, right? And so the top five for women are like clean energy, education, healthcare, the infrastructure, right? Gender equality, those are the things that women like. So then we layer that with how the wealthy invest, meaning private equity investing in these private businesses, you know, all different stages, right? You know, some investments in private businesses are early stage or later stage. So does that answer your question?
It does. It does. And as we're simplifying things for our listeners across the board, because I know that our listeners could be anywhere from just starting out or maybe it's piquing their interest to, oh, I'm already doing that. But thanks for the reminder, because everyone's journey is so unique and different. And I think that everyone's education level, especially when it comes to financial literacy, is so unique and different because of the broad spectrum of maybe they grew up in a generation that didn't talk about to now being so much more informed, you know, experts and individuals such as yourself are advocating for this. And we need more individuals that are going to be the voice for the voiceless because we didn't know. And as you said, so many women are just blindly going through. Maybe they're trusting their partner or that seems too confusing. So I'm just going to stay away from that because I got to focus on what I do understand. You know, for everyone has a different reason. But when you talk about investing, obviously as us as women, you talk about clean energy, education, healthcare, gender equality, the things that we're socially conscious and want to make a difference in, that's where our values and alignment is. And so when we look at, yes, investing can feel really big and heavy, but when we strip it down to, yeah, I'm passionate about women's healthcare. Yes, I'm passionate about gender equality. Yes. So maybe that's a place that we can start instead of thinking, oh my gosh, this big taxing, monumental investment word and money and finance. Right? It could feel overwhelming. So when we could start at the areas of interest, then that kind of is the stepping ground to, okay, well, then what's next? So can you walk us through a little bit of how do we invest? How do we make the money, that difference in our personal lines, but in the contribution side as well?
Yeah. So I would say go to impactinvestingcommunity.com, create a free account, pick three of those values. Clean energy, you can look at the goal. We have you select those boxes. Like, what are you interested in? We align private opportunities and platforms with those. You can ask, like, I'm interested in this. Here's what I want to see. And we can curate a list that aligns with those values. We always say pick three. That way you feel less helpless, especially in a political environment, because you can affect the change you want in the way that you want to affect change. It gives you power back because capital really is how you grow these businesses and how you even support things like sustainable agriculture, right? You know, which is high impact, moderate return, high impact, right? But we need to do it. 70% of our soil is not suitable for growth, right? We need efficient water systems. We need food that's free from pesticides, right? So we need investment in sustainable agriculture. I'm just saying that as an example. We share a real estate opportunity that you can co-invest alongside it with affordable rent. So think again, like military teachers where it's rate capped, where you can, you know, still get beautiful returns, like higher returns that you would get traditional in the public markets and still invest.
That makes sense because now you have the tool, which is your website. And allowing the individual to check the boxes of which ones align with where they're at. When you talk about the investment side of real estate investment, does somebody have to have huge lump sums of money? Let's talk about how little and how much one can invest.
Yeah, so they vary, right? Originally, we did this inside the bell curve. Traditionally, like to invest as a limited partner in opportunity, right? First-time investors, like $25,000. Some people would use retirement accounts and things like that. But the beautiful thing about that real estate and the debt is you can predict the cash flows because it's based off of the asset versus how you're trying to project out future cash flows for your business, right? With a piece of real estate, the cash flows are there. You know what the rent rates are going to be. You know what you should expect based off of improvements. And then you know what subsidies you're getting from the government. You know what subsidies you're getting because you have affordable rents, right? Or affordable housing. Because that's what we bring in RISE. We don't bring in just real estate for the sake of bringing in real estate. They have to check one of those UN sustainable goals, right? Meaning like clean energy or, you know, affordable rents, affordable units, or in your care, which is a problem. But then they have other platforms which we've collaborated with, which you can start participating in at less. So we have both now over time. We have both now that you can participate in.
Wonderful. So
we share, like, there's an energy fund that we share, right? Which is beautiful passive income. That one starts at like $100, right? And that's in clean energy. And they have here one here in the U.S., one in South America, and one over in Africa. The returns, you know, vary, but they all start at like 7 or 8. And then I think they go on up to like 15 for that particular energy fund. And we just bring these opportunities in. That's what we do.
Right. So you're just bringing the opportunities to the table, educating the women on how to take that first step or what is the next step after getting started. When you talk about, you know, as women going through different stages of life, transitions, obviously your story was an inspiration for you to go out and educate yourself. So as women are coming up in their own transitions and stages of life, would you say there's a pro and a con to investing now versus later? Meaning if you've missed your boat, if you're past a certain age and thinking, man, I'm late, I missed out on the opportunity. What would you say to that?
Google the inflation rate. Everybody, while you're watching a Netflix show, whatever you're doing, whatever that inflation rate is, that will give you the sense of urgency. If you just didn't do anything, that's the value that your money is losing. So you need to have it at least making that amount or more. Does that make sense? You can just Google, what is the inflation rate right now? What was it a year ago? Because I want to see women getting educated in this way. So for me, we used to take trips to Mexico growing up with our family, and they would always make it a point to show us the most challenging neighborhoods and communities. I remember walking through the streets to the point where having well-run sanitation and great water could be a challenge. I have not forgotten that. Even now, I still feel a deep responsibility to do something meaningful with the opportunities I've been given. You know, that paired with now I have kids, right, you know, who are older teenagers. And, you know, I feel that we all have a wonderful opportunity, not obligation, opportunity to create and to do something in a way that will allow us to champion causes we actually want to affect. Impact investing or values aligned investing, whatever you want to call it, right? Meaning investing in line with my values. That's all that. Impact means I'm investing to make an impact, right? And typically, we always use this word in social or environmental causes that we're championing, right? Not just about financial reward, but it's also about the social and environmental opportunities we're helping. Whatever you want to call it doesn't really matter. It means the same thing. We can continue to cyclically do that over again because once we invest, we're getting return. We can turn around and do it again. We invest, we get a return. We can turn around and do it again versus just blindly trusting. So, but that, you know, that really fuels me, you know, those yearly trips. My parents did a great job. You know, we would do ministry work in less fortunate neighborhoods. And so, you know, that's why RISE is different from the private investing group that I used to have years ago, which was just financially focused. It's why it's different is because it's within me, right, to always think about how we can use capital for good.
Right. I love that because that becomes your mission-driven work. And speaking volumes, this is just so empowering because, well, one of so many reasons with education, but also to know that once you educate yourself, again, that education, that knowledge, that's power, and you get to now help somebody else. So it's that contribution side of things, which I think is so important because sometimes we miss that and think that we're always trying to set ourselves up for success. We have to ask yourself, why are we in business in the first place? Why do we do what we do? And if there's an opportunity to invest into other companies or brands or change makers of some capacity, doesn't that align with your core mission, vision, and values? So this all just totally makes sense. When it comes to investing too, say somebody's in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, does that matter? Would you say start today if you can, because the longer you don't, those are missed opportunities.
100%. Yeah, everyone should be investing, right? And things that align with their values. Here's the deal. When I think about investing, it's not just about financial gain, but about leaving a lasting positive imprint on the world, just as, you know, those neighborhoods that I used to see and, you know, visit. And then when we think about things in that lens, you ask yourself, should I start when I'm 20? Should I start when I'm 60? Change happens when you show up, you know, when you're present, you know, in the lives of others, and when you use what you have to uplift those who have less. So again, it starts with our purchasing decisions, things that we buy. Do those companies have women on the leadership team? It's just a little research. Do those companies support environmental or social governance and standards with our banks? How are they investing our money? Is it in prisons or affordable housing? You know, is it in oil and gas solely, or do they add some clean energy in there, right? Are they polluting our world, or are they trying to mix it up over time? So absolutely, 100%, we should start. Now, from a financial point of view, we should definitely start in whatever means that we can, right? You can buy a share in a stock or that energy fund I was talking about with $100.
Correct.
And so, you know, if you think about if you buy an apparel piece and it's gone versus if you buy in that energy fund and it's like a 6% to 9% return. Okay, so I'm going to take $100 and I'm actually going to get a 9% return on that. That means my money is going to grow at 9%. And then I'm going to get some passive income, right? So when you start thinking about things like that and then how to do that at whatever rate and accessible way that you can. See, when I started, I was driven by a desire to take control of the financial future of my family. As I became more hands-on in real estate and business, I realized something. Money does have the power to transform. Just as, you know, we serve those communities in like ministry work or visiting, right? You could serve through investments. And the beautiful part is that each of these business plans, they will tell you, this is why I like the private ones, because the impact component is so clear. Like, it's a reason they exist, as opposed to some of the massive companies that fit ESG standards into the overall strategy. With the private businesses or the private real estate, or that company was created for debt or another opportunity, she takes trailer homes and then she financially educates the entire community, right? So it's a return for the investors and they're doing financial education. Like things like that, it's built with a specific impact component in mind. And that's how I think about impact investing. It's not just about what you get, but it's about what you give back. And if you really want high impact, then I love the sustainable agriculture aspects of things. They're not as high of the return as, let's say, like the real estate or the debt, but they're really high impact. I love that about those things. I just feel like entrepreneurs, because we have the leadership and we're naturally poised to be in this space, we're naturally thinking about how to drive change. It's just such a beautiful alignment there because of the way we think, because of the entrepreneurial energy, right, that many of us have. I just think it's such alignment with purpose. And whether it's sustainability or, you know, whether it's, you know, socially, whatever it is, there's alignment for entrepreneurs. They're uniquely equipped to grow businesses and transform entire industries, integrating purpose into their business models. They're just really uniquely built for that.
Right. And that's why I always think of an entrepreneur is that you're taking that risk to create something that doesn't exist or to improve something that already does. So it's about being innovative and unique in a way of seeing things differently through your perspective and your lens. A couple of things that you mentioned, I want to talk about briefly about being socially conscious, right? I think that that's a big piece of what us women, when we think about brands and companies that we want to partner, collaborate, or even purchase from, because we're all consumers of some sort. So having that education from the financial side, but also the education to think in alignment of those companies that you're giving your hard-earned money to, does that make sense for you? Does that align with who you are? Maybe it's doing your own research, as Tanea says, Google the companies, because you might be giving your money away to them and they might be using it for a cause that is totally against what you stand for. I think that's another piece that we didn't unpack, but it's so important to also consider.
Oh, totally. And that's another way that we can all start, regardless of what we have. And there's, you know, opportunities that, you know, you can really champion around that. So entrepreneurs have the power to step into this space and make their capital work harder to create opportunities, right? For both profit and purpose. I think that's a gift that we have.
Yeah, I agree. As this journey unfolds, as we step into more of the confidence aspect of entrepreneurship, financial literacy has to come. Our lack of knowledge is going to only get us so far. And if we're really set out on making a difference and being those change makers and impact makers and leaving that legacy, we need to be informed, we need to be educated, and we need to be our own advocate on this part. What would it be without it? That's just a question we have to ask ourselves.
Yeah, 100%. And once you invest with intention, the rewards go beyond financial gain as well. You're affecting change. You feel less helpless. And then to be honest, you don't get as involved in things that you know that you don't have control because you focus on what you do have control over.
Absolutely. So this has been an incredible conversation. It's probably most pages of notes I've taken in quite some time. Thank you. And I hope our listeners are going to go back and take copious notes as well, because you really just broke this down in a way that I feel is so easy to understand. And again, listeners, I try to ask those questions on your behalf as well as my own questions. Like I said at the beginning of this episode, if there's anything that came up and you're curious and want to know, by all means, reach out to Taneya or check out her website. Say this again, your website again.
Our website is actually risethemovement.com, but because we had such a need for these opportunities, we created a separate platform called the impactinvestingcommunity.com. You can go there and create a free account, watch some educational videos. We cover angel investing, sustainable agriculture, venture capital, debt, family office, things like that. No matter where you're at, you should really think about it, whether it's by yourself or you with a partner or whether you, your partner with kids, however you all look. These are good familia discussions, you know, to really have, you know, and to unlock these conversations, to unlock ways to have an impact. So this is all great, great dialogue to have. And you start with, you know, thinking about what change you want, right? And how you're going to do that. There's many great examples for that. And then you can even align your business with impact. Think about what you want and start the conversations. And then there's a chat there. So if there's other videos that you'd like to see, you know, we'll add them to the queue. But you'll see private opportunities. And then we do a free newsletter too, and which we really just talk about how to analyze a private deal. Right? How to analyze a business, how to analyze a debt fund, how to analyze these things. We do talk about that as well.
Right. That's encouraging to know that those decisions are well informed. Pretty much any questions or handholding is like, this is what you guys do because you understand that women are coming in at different levels and the tools they need just to get started to grow and scale their businesses and investments, setting them up for success over time. And this has been a great conversation. If there's anything that we haven't get addressed, just give you a few moments to wrap things up. And then, of course, how people can connect with you to follow along and ask questions if need be.
I would say everyone should go create a free account, impactinvestingcommunity.com, right? That's easy. But then watch those videos and let everyone see those in their ecosystem. Please don't discount them like, oh, I can't do it. Oh, it's not time yet. Oh, I'm not ready, right? But instead of thinking, why not, think, how can I? Right. And really reach out and say, what do you have here? What do you have here as we continue to evolve this? Look, we created this platform because we were sharing things in a meeting format with investors. We had such an interest from people who were like, well, gosh, we just want to learn. And so we created this educational community around that. So I would say head on over there and look at that. And if there is other content that you would like to see educated on so that you really understand. Don't think of why I can't. Think, how can I? That would be the biggest thing. Instead of saying that I don't have the mindset or it's not for me, tell yourself it is for you. Define your impact goals, the change you want to make in the world. Start small. Do your research with our newsletter, with our community. Join our impact network. Get mentorship. If you're not there, just learn. We have so much free content. Just start learning.
Yes, that's exactly right. Just start where you're at, and you'll continue to grow and build that confidence to tackle that beast that we might have otherwise danced around because we don't know where to go. This conversation has been so educating and empowering. So I just want to thank you, Tanea, for being our guest today and pouring in your vast wisdom, wealth of information, and being of service to our community as well. Thank you.
That's been great. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.